Well, I guess last night, again, another benchmark for a freshman Congress member of Congress, that first State of the Union address. I want you to talk about the address itself in a minute, but first, kind of do a scene setter, if you would, from a freshman member of Congress viewpoint.
Well, it is a very reverential experience. If you think about the importance and the longevity of our unique Constitution, under Article 2, Section 3, it says that the President will deliver the State of the Union address annually to a combined Congress. And so getting to participate in that process is unique. It was, again, I was very pleased to be able to participate, and just viewed it as a very respectful manner.
Who'd you sit next to?
I sat next to two Republicans. I didn't do a Democratic date night. I sat next to Steve Austria from Ohio and Raul Labrador from Idaho.
Was that the luck of the draw situation, or had y'all talked about it ahead of time, how the seats get staked out, that kind of thing?
Well, actually, it was first come, first served, but some of the people had cheated on the rules and had gone and put name tags in their seats to hold their seats.
Oh, I got you. Okay,
so I found the first open seat, and then the other two guys came up and pulled name tags off. So
now what time did you actually get in and sit down in the hall?
I sat down about 7:45, and of course, you remember it was a 9 o'clock start.
Mm-hmm, right, exactly. So, what, you bring a book? You got your phone with you? How'd you kill time?
Well, actually, I was tweeting. The House comes to order over a 25-minute period, so I was tweeting about that, tweeting where I was seated, and some of my reflections on the process. Okay. And I did have reading material as well.
All right. So now, give us your view. I'm presuming that you don't really have a ringing endorsement of what you heard.
No, sir, I don't. I felt like the words were fairly hollow. He just changed the word stimulus to investment, and then began to attack taxpayers and attack the oil and gas industry, and all of the job creators. So I felt like it was fairly hollow.
Bill Flores, Congressman, joining us from D.C. this morning. The president really did not talk about Social Security or Medicare much, nor I'd like to get your thoughts on Paul Ryan and the Republican response. What did he have to say that rang true as far as you were concerned?
Well, the president did talk about entitlements, but he did brush across them fairly quickly. Paul Ryan's response, I thought, was right on. It gives the American people a very sanguine view about the state of our budget and our deficit situation, and also our growing debt. Our debt is growing at $55,000 per second.
Yeah.
And so that you put that in perspective, that's the average pay of a typical private sector worker. So I thought Paul Ryan came up with a Republican program that talks about the fact that we've got to not only attack spending in the budget itself, in the discretionary part of the budget, but we've got to go after the entitlements and get those fixed so that we can hold true to our promises to Americans of all ages on the entitlement side.
Yesterday we had the economic conference in Bryan College Station, the Chamber of Commerce, and Dr. Lofton was the keynote speaker, and one of the things that he had talked about was concern for the lack of funding for students to help them be able to make it through colleges like A&M and other universities in Texas. And the president has talked about strengthening the Pell Grant program to make college possible with funding on the federal level. Kind of like to get your view as to what kind of inducements or help students should be able to get to continue their education.
Well, as you know, and as most of the folks in our community know, I am a very strong proponent. Both Gina and I are strong supporters of education, not only K-12, but in particular higher education. And so anything that we can do to help students attend and be successful, I think we need to continue. Now, whether or not that includes massive federal programs or not, I think that's what needs to be discussed. There are parts of the federal programs to support higher ed that work, and I think there are some parts that, like many federal programs, that are less effective.
Bill Flores joining us from D.C. So, State of the Union's in the rearview mirror. Business of Congress has to go on. What's happening this week in your world?
Well, today we have three key events when you look at as they pertain to Congressman Bill Flores. The first one is that the Natural Resources Committee, of which I'm a member, is going to conduct its first hearings on the Oil Spill Commission report. I will be participating in that and hope to play a material part in that process. Our budget committee is getting organized today, and the budget committee is going to have a very packed schedule for the next 2 months as we receive the president's budget and then prepare the House version of Congress budget going forward. Veterans Affairs also meets and gets organized today, and we will have our first hearings very soon.
Now, let's go back to the oil for just a minute. Obviously, you have a frame of reference that a lot of members might not have since you were in the oil industry for a long time. So what kind of special expertise do you think you're going to bring to those hearings?
Well, I've got boots on the ground experience, if you will, about and was involved in the offshore drilling business and the offshore energy space for in one manner or another for almost 30 years. And so with that real-world experience, I should be able to ask the probing questions and to challenge the parts of the commission's report that I think are flawed. And hopefully, through this hearing and oversight process, we can have an impact on the regulations that are ultimately developed, either through congressional oversight or through the legislative process.
Well, did it appear to you, at least prima facie, where we are now, that there are the safeguards in place? It's just that maybe some of the folks didn't follow the things that are already in place that should be done.
Well, we had safeguards in place, but they weren't followed as well. And I think one of the areas the commission got right is that we need to make sure that companies have a culture of safety. BP seemed to have seemed to be lacking in that area in terms of having a culture of safety, and it allowed the safeguards that exist through regulation and through standard industry practices to be violated, and of course we had a tragedy as a result. I would hope that, and I don't know how you legislate a safety culture, but we're going to try to do that, and then we'll have to beef up some safety regulations. But I think the wholesale changes that we made in offshore drilling regulations prior to the issuance of the commission's report were wrong. I think the moratoria were wrong, and you can see the impact today in higher gasoline prices at the pump.
Yeah, and that's it. Next thing I want to have you switch to your oil man point of view after you've been in the oil industry for so long. Our gas prices are going up again, and that's obviously something that people are feeling every day. From a guy who's a veteran of the oil industry, what's your feeling on why the prices are where they are and what's the short-term and long-term outlook?
Well, the reason prices are where they are is that we have crimped our domestic supply by shutting down the offshore drilling industry. We were projected to have 13% growth in oil production from offshore in this country. Instead, we're going to be 6% down this year. We're losing over 200,000 barrels a day of oil production domestically, and that's causing the price of oil to go up. It's causing the price to go up at the gas pumps. And I know that the president's going to try to attack those big, bad oil companies for this, but really this problem, it can be laid squarely at the front door of the White House because of the drilling moratoria that they imposed on the industry. Now, there has not been one permit issued in deep water for new drilling, even though he declared the moratorium to be lifted, and we've got a de facto slowdown in permit issuance in shallow water. It's hurting Americans.
Certainly there are other sources of oil, and they're not domestic, but the last time there was some speculation in the market that drove the price up. Is there, in fact, worldwide significant or sufficient supply so that we really should be able to have what we need into the refineries?
I believe that there is, but it takes a while to respond to a supply dislocation and the rapid drop-off in domestic production because of the moratoria, I believe, has caused us to be in this period of dislocation. The markets may respond fairly quickly and allow more supply to come from foreign sources. However, that's still the wrong thing to do. We're shipping dollars overseas, shipping jobs overseas, when we've got an economy that needs exactly the opposite.
Bill, if they want to get in touch with you, how do they do that?
Well, you can follow us on Twitter at Rep Flores. You can go to our website, which is flores.house.gov. Or you can call our D.C. office at 202-225-6105. We also have a local office in Bryan College Station, one in Waco and one in Cleburne.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us on most Wednesdays when Congress is in session, and you can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time, Bill.
Thanks, Scott. Remember our prayers and our country and our troops in your prayers.
Will do.